I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Dylan Barnes.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and thejournal.com. So I'm sitting at my desk most days, Dylan, and I'm sweating.
I'm sweating right now.
Why is that? Because something's wrong with the AC here at Daily Journal World Headquarters. I guess they haven't figured it out. So it makes it feel almost like I'm doing manual labor because I'm sweating. That shouldn't happen.
Yeah, we're in this whole little bitty room. Both.
Yeah, it's kind of warm in here too.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to make this podcast quick so we don't sweat each other out.
So if you hear either me or Brad huffing and puffing on the podcast, We've got a really good reason.
Or if there's a thunk, one of us passed out. No. Yeah. Oh, it's not that bad, I guess, but it's not fun. I hate summer. I've said this before. I'll say it again. Hate summer. hate it so much with the burning passion of a thousand suns. See what I did there?
Funny.
Okay, welcome into the show. Thanks for joining us. Just a reminder that this podcast comes to you every Wednesday, and you can find us in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Got a lot to talk about. Football practice has started. Volleyball season has started. COVID has started back up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we got that and more to talk about today. We'll try not to go too long, but going to hit some high points here. It's a football practice beginning on Monday, and so at least we're not out there for very long, at least, unless we go to a practice to cover it. But at least we're not out there running around in pads, sweating.
Yeah, I almost threw up the other day watching East Union run.
Well, I went out to Biggersville on Monday, and of course the Lions are coming off their first ever appearance in the state title game in Class 1A. Came up short in that one, but had a great season. And just, you know, continued to take another step forward under Stan Platt. Of course, he has since retired. Case Ingram, an assistant coach, the last few years has taken over as head coach, and I was mainly talking to him and some of the players just about keeping that tradition alive because, you know, it's a young tradition. Mm-hmm. And this is a program that went 20 years between playoff appearances before Platt showed up. And they were not a team we wrote about much. Mm-hmm. I mean, because we tend to write about teams that do well. That's just kind of the way it goes. So, I think most of these guys, even the younger ones, remember how it used to be just mm-hmm. from growing up around there and watching the team or what have you. And a lot of the seniors now were in middle school, you know, when the team was still kind of down, but then it started to rise under Stan Platt, and they just kept improving each and every year. And, you know, I think they've got a good shot this year to do well. Their quarterback returns. Of course, last year, Quentin Knight was supposed to be the quarterback. He got hurt in the summer, but they got Drew Rousey. He took over and did pretty good. Mm-hmm. And now he's back this year. They lost Goldman Butler, star running back and middle linebacker, but they've got several options at running back, like Zay Davis. And he's a guy that can play receiver as well. Really, the big question mark is offensive and defensive lines. They've got three starters to replace on each side of the ball. But skill position, I think they're going to be really good. I mean, it seems like Biggersville always, at least under Stan Platt, always had some really good skill guys.
Yeah, well, even in their down years, they've always had true. Athletes in that school.
True.
Some of them may not have been wearing football pads, but the athletes have always been there at Biggersville. Now they are wearing those football pads. You mentioned it was Zay Davis. I mean, like he's a guy I expect to take just a massive jump this year, just with the sheer amount of touches that he's probably going to get in that offense as probably their top playmaker. But, you know, they've got guys like Jathan Hatch and Jarrell Jones and Dylan Rousey, the brother of, you know, quarterback Drew Rousey. So there's a lot to like there with their skills positions. Like you mentioned, the line, you know, on both sides will be a question mark. But I guess, you know, if there is a solace to that is, you know, outside of TCPS, which we highlighted, I think, last week with their offensive line, you know, in 1A football, you're not just going to have, you know, just a whole ton of, you know, five or six linemen that are, you know, all going to be 250 to 300 pounds and just road grading everybody or whatever. That's very unusual at a 1A school. So when you have it, it's a luxury. Biggersville had that last year, and it was a luxury. But, you know, I still think they're going to be able to find a way to win games, but I just – putting the ball in the hands of their playmakers.
And you mentioned being out at East Union. Of course, East Union reached the 2A North half game last year, lost to Calhoun City, farthest that program's ever been in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they got a few guys to replace, most notably Colton Plunk. Mm-hmm. But, again, they've got Rhett Johnson back. He's healthy now, the quarterback. Got Hayden Roberts, who can do stuff all over the field.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think they're in pretty good shape. But in your story, you said they're kind of starting from scratch or what have you, yeah, or however you want to put it.
It's a very weird weird way to go about it. But I guess I feel like it's going to work. It's just, you know, they went 10-2 last year, like you said, North half appearance. And they only lost five seniors, mm-hmm. you know, and they're important ones, the Michael Fulgham, Colton Plunks, guys like that. That were a huge part of that success, but you're bringing back a whole nucleus of players that saw a lot of success and stuff last year. And Coach Todd Light was out there just like telling them, he's like, "Hey, forget last year. Like, forget all those successes that you had, everything that you accomplished. Like, none of that matters now. Like, it all, you know, is mm-hmm. is what's ahead of us." And I'm telling you, looking at their schedule. leading up to the end of the season, they are absolutely pushing themselves to get ready. Starting the season with New Albany, then they got Heritage Academy, which is one of the strongest NAIS programs in the state. And they've got East Webster and Eupora, I think, on the schedule again this year. So they're absolutely pushing themselves in non-division because this under Todd Light, this program is trying to take it to another level.
Right.
You know, and they got to North half this year, and I mean, they're wanting to get to Jackson. Yeah, you know, none of the rest of us want to go to Jackson, but East Union really wants to go to Jackson. And you mentioned him a while ago. I think Rhett Johnson is going to play a huge part of being year two back. I know he missed a couple games last year, but Hayden Roberts, man, is one of the most undervalued players maybe in this entire area as far as what he does and what he means to a team. You know, I mentioned it in the story. Colton Plunk rushed for almost 2,000 yards and 32 touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even the division MVP. And that division also had T.J. Colum in it.
Right.
From Walnut. So Hayden Roberts was that division MVP, and it was mainly because of what he meant for the time he spent at quarterback, running back, wide receiver, wherever they needed him. So, and he's really good on defense too. So I expect he's going to have just a really good year, and that name's going to be printed across headlines a bunch of times probably.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. There's a little update on a couple of football practices. We'll try to get out to some more in the coming days. I might go out somewhere tomorrow or Friday. Might as well. Yeah, if it's not too hot.
Wear your tank top.
Nobody wants to see that. Okay, let's move on to volleyball. As I mentioned, the season has begun for several area teams. Monday, I got to go see Alcorn Central at Saltillo. Of course, Saltillo, just a second-year program, but they're 5A, and you know, they've got some good players, some good athletes. I think they've made some progress from last year. And so they were, you know, fairly competitive, but Alcorn Central is, you know, really good, one of the best teams around here, and ranked number 5 by us in the preseason. And they got a girl named Mia Griffin. You know, 2-time Daily Journal Player of the Year. She played as well as you would expect her to play, but I think she's got a little more help this year around her. She's got some other outside hitters who can kind of pick up the slack a little bit and just take some of the pressure off of her. So I think just all around, they looked pretty strong. Got Sydney Howie, the libero. She's a veteran, and she had a good match as well and ended up winning 3-0. Griffin had 16 kills in that win over Saltillo, and also got Kaylee Shipman, really good on the front line there for the Lady Bears, and you've got Allie Kirkland, a younger player. I think she's a sophomore, but I think she had a few kills in that game, and she's still kind of breaking her in. I mean, that was her first varsity match ever, but Coach Eric Lancaster really likes her potential. So Alcorn Central is still looking strong. Tupelo opened on Tuesday against DeSoto Central, the reigning 6A state champs, but at least that they're not in the same division anymore for Tupelo's sake. DeSoto Central won 3-1. Tupelo, I thought, you know, they're pretty young. They put up a pretty good fight. I lost the first set, came back and won the second one. I think 25-23, but then DeSoto won the third one, and then in the fourth one, DeSoto just ran away with it, 25-9. Just their talent kind of won out. I mean, they're sort of young too, but like they got some really good veteran players, like Kennedy Smith in particular stood out to me for them. And Tupelo's got a handful of veterans like Autumn Peters and Annabelle Rios and Taylor Rogers, but still breaking in a lot of new faces because they lost some really good players from last year's team that went 20-3. So that's a good early test for Tupelo. Coach Laurie Bishop, you know, she wasn't upset with the effort. She just thought they could have handled adversity a little bit better. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a young team is going to have to learn how to do that over the course of the season. And then you had Hickory Flat and Ripley on a Tuesday night. And Emma Wilson, yeah. Still good at the volleyball.
She's still good. She's it was kind of a little buzz. I was walking in the gym, and everybody was like, hey, does Hickory Flat still have that tall, kind of skinny girl over there that jumps out of the gym and puts a hole in the floor? And I was like, yeah, then she's back. She's a senior. But it was – I will say it was a quiet night probably for her.
By her standards,
yeah. I mean, because normally when you think about players of like Emma Wilson, Mia Griffin, we're talking about, you know, 16, 17 kills a night, and it's like, you know, that's just another woo.
Yeah.
You know, another night, and that wasn't necessarily the case for Emma. I think she finished with 7 kills and had like 5 service aces, but which is nothing to sneeze at, but it's just not what she's used to. But a lot of that was, you know, Hickory Flat was missing a key player, Jolie Young, the opposite outside hitter was out. And so, you know, it kind of put two different girls in different roles. And they're kind of a young team. They graduated Kylie Gray and Reagan Skelton from last year.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got a load of sophomores, Jolie Young being one of those. But Sarah Jo Skelton and Anna Reese Woods, both players. Sarah Jo is a sister of Reagan. She got a good amount of playing time last year, but she's moved into this middle blocker spot. And Anna Reese Woods was mainly a JV player last year and
mm-hmm.
really devoted herself to club volleyball over the offseason and has gotten a lot better. And now that their group of starting six is really good, and they're, you know, they're looking to really push for another, you know, 1A North half championship and hopefully finish in the business, you know, this time
down there.
But, you know, it was a good way to start the season for them to kind of find some other pieces and show that they've got more than just Emma. That comes against, you know, a pretty good Ripley squad that's, you know, having to replace 6 seniors from last year. And it's going to be kind of a steep learning curve for that group, you know, moving forward. So,
all right, there's your volleyball update. Now it's time for COVID. Boo. I was hoping we'd be done with this business.
I know.
But
I
then here come the variants.
Yeah.
And they're not good, and it's already affecting things. Calhoun City football in quarantine as of this past Monday. It's a 14-day quarantine, so they come out on the 23rd of August. That's 3 days before their scheduled season opener against Houston. They will have to forfeit that game because you have to have a certain acclimation period before you can start playing, and there's not enough time for that. So it'll start out 0-1, I guess, which – stinks.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, is that going to count against their record since it's not non-division? Because last year it didn't.
Yeah,
last year if it was a non-division, like, forfeit because of COVID or whatever, it didn't count against people's records.
I think it might depend on who you ask.
Yeah, yeah. But
I mean, I think it should count as a forfeit, but I don't know. I'll have to get some clarification on that from someone more official than other coaches.
That was an open-aired question here on the podcast.
Calhoun City, of course, now went all the way to the state championship game in 2A last year, looking to get back there this year. Got a pretty good squad, but, man, it's going to be – this is going to be a thing. We may just have to deal with it all season again. I talked to Ricky Neves, executive director of the MHSAA, earlier today, and talked to him about the fact that, you know, like Calhoun City, schools are going virtual now. Obviously, the COVID is not relegated just to the football players. So, and if you go virtual, your students are not allowed to participate in athletics. No games, no practice, no nothing. Now, and that's always kind of been the rule, is if somebody's not at school, they can't play.
Mm-hmm.
But they kind of suspended that rule last year because COVID just hit and kind of messed things up. And they're like, okay, it's just we'll let it slide for this year until we figure some things out. And now they're going back to enforcing that rule. So that's and no makeup games, which we hard to make up a season opener anyway.
Yeah,
and it's gonna be hard for Houston to find somebody to replace them because most everybody plays the opening weekend.
There's and most people, like this year, were expecting a pretty normal season, I think.
Yeah.
And so when they were filling out the schedules, they, you know, there might be – there's some teams that don't utilize bye weeks. They just play all 12 yep. weeks that they got or whatever. And then you might have one that might have one open week, but a lot of times that's like earlier in the season. And so, you know, like there's really no room to even make up a game, like, you know what
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
to get stuff done. So, you know, that's just kind of how that was going to work. So I felt like, you know, there was – in both Calhoun City and Houston's case, there's not really room on the rest of their schedule to really plug that back in. And it's not a division game, so at the end of the day, it don't really matter. So.
Yeah. That stinks, though. I think that would have been a good game.
Oh, absolutely. I was talking to Coach Bailey Dampier at Houston a couple weeks ago about that because I think they're doing a two-quarter scrimmage with East Webster the week before, and then they were supposed to get Calhoun City. And, you know, he was like, "That's I know we're 4A now, but he's like, that's two of the top 2A programs, and he's like, they can compete, and he's like, it'll give us a good look. And so now it's you know, four quarters of that gets taken away from him. So,
yeah, you hate it, but people just need to keep following the protocols. As Neve said, still need to social distance when possible, wear masks inside, keep everything sanitized, you know, don't share water bottles, and by God, get vaccinated if you're able to.
Yeah.
Like, get the vaccine, okay? There's no 5G chip in it. If they want to track you, you've got a phone. They've already – NSA has already got you. Also, nobody really cares what any of us are doing. The government doesn't. The government doesn't care. You're awfully silent over there, Dylan. Are you one of those conspiracy theorists? You just don't want to disagree with me on the air?
No, I'm just...
You're just like, shut up, Brad.
No, I just, yeah. I don't need to say anything.
Come on, let's just have a big discussion. We can...
Everybody's got their opinions on everything, right?
Boost the ratings.
Yeah, we could. Hey, you could turn into Don Lemon, and I'll be Clay Travis, and we can just go at it.
Oh, that'd be funny. Okay, let's move on. American Legion Baseball, Tupelo 49ers are still playing. In fact, they've advanced all the way to the World Series, and they will begin play on Thursday. Remind me who they're playing, Dylan.
They start out with Ridge Post 255, Maryland.
Maryland, okay. And it's you got two pools of four teams each?
Yeah, there's eight teams left, two pools of four.
So you do pool play from Thursday through Sunday, mm-hmm. and then the winners of the pools.
The top two teams from each pool.
Top two, that's right.
The number ones will match up with the number twos from the opposite pools on next Monday in the semifinals, and then the winners of those games will move on and play on in Tuesday's championship. So,
and not knowing anything about the other teams, I still feel pretty good about Tupelo's chances just because of the way they played all season and just the sheer amount of talent mm-hmm. and depth on that team.
Yeah, they've really got it. They we've talked about it on the podcast and in stories. All the updates that we've done this year is about their pitching because of guys like Cade Davis and Davis Oswalt and Caleb Goddard and all these guys that's thrown really well over the summer for them. But last week, that team absolutely hit. I think it was something like 67 hits over six games,
yeah.
59 runs.
That's almost 10 runs a game.
In the Southeast Regional, where there was a lot of really good teams down there in Alabama. So they were hitting against, I think McKinley Holland told me that every arm they saw last week in the regionals was, you know, 86 or above on their fastballs. So they were seeing a lot of velocity, a lot of good stuff, and was just hitting the fire out of it. So if they carry that over into this, I feel like, you know, they've got a really good shot of getting on TV again Tuesday night.
That's so, right, because these early games will air on ESPN3.com, and then I think it's the semifinals and finals air ESPN on ESPNU.
Yeah, so yeah, you'll be able to flip on your if there is anybody that even does DirecTV or cable or anything anymore, because most everybody's moved to the streaming world anyways. But
right.
But the semifinals and championship will both be on ESPNU, but you can. If you got an ESPN subscription like I do, you can watch it on ESPN3.
Yeah.
All these pool play games. So
cool. All right. Let's close it out with a shout out this week, and it goes to Myrtle's Kinsley Gordon, the senior who plays like 18 sports. Just kidding. She only does five, and she cheers. And some people say that's a sport, so whatever. Six sports. She has committed to Southern Miss softball. Did that the other day. And, you know, we all kind of knew that that's what she was going to do in college. She's always wanted to play softball in college. It's probably her best sport, although she's really good at basketball. I mean, she averaged 24 points a game last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's insanely athletic. But heck, she hit 500 for the softball team last season, led them to a state title. So I think he'll do just fine playing softball at Southern Miss. And that's all the time we have for this episode of Prep Rally. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. Again, we come to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Follow me on there at Brad Locke. Dylan is on there at Dylan Barnes DJ, where he will give you his opinions on COVID vaccines. And we'll see you next week.
More Lakers.